So Parshat Nitzavim. In order to understand Parshat Nitzavim, we need to go back to last week's Parsha Ki Tavo. Okay, so let's start just by reviewing. First of all, what did we do last week here? Last week we spoke about the two mitzvot at the very beginning of the Parsha. I'm not going back over that now, but just to remind you, we spoke about the mitzvah of Bikurim, and specifically the Mikra Bikurim, and then the mitzvah of what Chazal called Vidui Ma'aser, the two declarations that are made by farmers in the Beit HaMikdash. Maybe open up to last week's Parsha, just to get the flow. Okay, Parsha Ki Tavo. Dvarim Perek. So that was those two mitzvot are the beginning of Dvarim Perek Chafvav, 26. And then after that there was a short, what you might call a summary. Now, I don't know to what extent all of you are familiar with the rest of Sefer Dvarim, but if you sort of zoom out and look at Sefer Dvarim as a whole, Sefer Dvarim begins, Eile HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe, and Sefer Dvarim is basically a collection of speeches that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. If you look at the book, it's very, very clear the way the book is written. It begins with an introduction, Eile HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe, and there's a speech that goes for the first four or five prakim, and that speech clearly comes to an end. There's a summary. Then there's a little passage in between, which is not part of a speech, and then begins a very long speech, which is the majority of Sefer Dvarim. The long speech begins, it's what's often called Ne'um HaMitzvot, the speech about the mitzvot, begins in Perek He, Parshat Be'etchanan, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. That speech begins with some introductory discussions, and then, once you hit the middle of Parshat Re'eh, which is Perek, I believe it's Perek Yud. No, I'm wrong. Perek. Once you reach Perek Yud Aleph, not the very beginning, the middle of Perek Yud Aleph, or actually, and then into Perek Yud Bet, begins a lengthy section of mitzvot, just mitzvot, which covers the majority of Sefer Dvarim. I'm sorry, remind me your name.
Ashley.
Okay, a lengthy section of mitzvot, which begins in Parshat Re'eh, and then continues throughout Shoftim and Kititei, all the way into Ki Tavo, and it ends with those two mitzvot that we began with right there last week. It ends with those two mitzvot. So now let's look at the rest of the Sefer. The rest of the Sefer, which begins in Perek Chav Zayin, contains another series of small speeches. How to divide up the rest of the Sefer is a little bit of a debate. But it's clear that after what we just read, after Moshe Rabbeinu gave this speech, in which he gave over many, many mitzvot, some of which the people had already heard, some of which we were familiar with from Sefer Vayikra, Sefer Bamidbar, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, others which appear only in Sefer Dvarim, but a lengthy speech of mitzvot, Moshe Rabbeinu then addressed the people for a third time. And that's what we read last Shabbat, beginning Perek Chav Zayin. I'm not going to read it all with you, but in order to understand this week's parsha, we have to just get the flow here. So look from the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, and you'll see, what do we see there? It says that, Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael et ha'am le'mor, shmor et ha'mitzvah asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom, V'haya b'yom asher ta'avru et ha'yarden el ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach v'akemot alecha avanim gedolot v'sadata usam otam basid. Okay, so what the Torah commanded us, what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the people together with the Ziknei Israel, beginning last week's parsha, he gives them instructions for a ceremony that they are to perform when b'yom asher ta'avru et ha'yarden. Remember, at this point, we're at all of Sefer Dvarim takes place when? At the end of the 40 years, at the very end of Moshe's life. By now, by the way, it's likely that we're at the last day of Moshe's life. And pretty soon Moshe is going to die at the end of Sefer Dvarim. And after that, the people are going to mourn for 30 days. And when that 30 days is over, Moshe died on Zion Adar. 30 days later, Zion Nisan. At that point, the narrative in Sefer Yoshua begins, talks about a 3-day preparatory period, and on the 10th of Nisan, the people cross over the Yarden. And in the beginning of the book of Yoshua, it tells us how the people actually carried out this ceremony which is commanded here. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them, this is what you're going to do maybe a few weeks from now. Some of it took place maybe a few months later when they enter Eretz Yisrael. There are several steps to the ceremony. They're supposed to take rocks from the Yarden. They're supposed to set them up on the other side of the Yarden in Eretz Canaan. Big, huge rocks, 12 rocks. They're supposed to write the Torah on those rocks. And then they're supposed to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, two mountains near Shechem, and there's going to be this whole ceremony. Right? Six of the tribes on one mountain, six of the tribes on the other mountain. And basically, what's the purpose of this? It is a brit. Right? And then the Torah, we read about it, how they're going to, there's a series of brachot and klalot. Arur ha'ish asher. Cursed be the person who violates this, 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 and this. Blessed be the person who keeps these various things. Oh my gosh. Injury from the teal?
Yeah, not really.
Not really. Okay.
No, from the teal.
Yeah,
while
she
was hiking up a mountain.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was dark out too, guys.
There were the seder. Okay. So, all right, so Moshe Rabbeinu gives him the details of this ceremony. That was Perek Chaf Zayin. Okay? Now, in Perek Chaf Chet, we read the next thing Moshe tells them, which is a lengthy passage which is known as Tochacha. Right? This was the long part. I don't know if you noticed this past Shabbat. The first few aliyot were very short. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi were very, even Ravi were very short. Chamishi was huge. And then Shishi, Shvi were short again because we don't want to break the Tochacha up into, we don't want to stop in the middle of what's a very, very unpleasant portion of the Torah. So let's take a look. We're not going to read the whole thing, but we need to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu told them. Take a look at Perek Chaf Chet, please. Okay, after telling them about the ceremony which they're going to need to perform when they cross the Yarden, Moshe Rabbeinu then said to them the following: "V'haya Perek Chafet, v'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha l'shmor lasot et kol mitzvotav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. If you follow Hashem's mitzvot, then unetancha Hashem Elokecha oyon kol goyei haaretz uvohu v'alecha kol abrachot ha'ila v'sigucha ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha." Baruch atah ba'ir, baruch atah ba'sadeh, etc., etc. Moshe Rabbeinu told him, if this is going to be the rules, if you follow all of the mitzvot, including the mitzvot which I've just spent my whole Sefer Dvarim telling you, the Ne'uma mitzvot, if you follow all these laws, right, you're about to go into the Yarden, you're going to cross the river, you're going to rededicate yourselves to Hashem with this ceremony. A ceremony, by the way, if you learn the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, there's so many parallels between Yitziat Mitzrayim, what happened when the people left Mitzrayim, and what happened when they came into Eretz Canaan, and the Brit, the ceremony that takes place on the day they cross the Yarden, and a little bit later on when they come to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, is very, very parallel to the ceremony that took place at, where? At Har Sinai. Right? Again, there's a Mizbeach, again there's Korbanot, and the people are committing themselves once again to accept Hashem's Torah. That's the idea. And Moshe Rabbeinu now says to the people, you have to understand what the significance of this commitment is. If you keep your commitment, you promise to follow Hashem's command, if you keep your commitment, then everything's going to be good. All these brachot will come to you, Baruch atah ba'ir, Baruch atah ba'sadeh, you'll have lots of health and money, and your enemies will not be able to affect you, and everything will be great. That takes 14 psukim until Perek Kaf Chet Pasuk Yodav, and then Pasuk Tevav continues. There's a flip side, of course. That's what's going to happen. All those good things are going to happen if you keep your commitment. You promised, you accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. You promised to keep the mitzvot at Har Sinai. Now it's the next generation. Maybe it's really your parents who accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. The people he's talking to now either were born after Har Sinai or were small children or at most teenagers at Har Sinai. Right? Because anybody that was above 20 at Har Sinai, with only a few exceptions, anyone who was above 20 at Har Sinai was already dead. Right? Because of the Chet Meragmin. So this is the next generation. These are the children of the people who stood at Har Sinai. Maybe some of them were there as young people. Many of them were never there. And he says, but Am Yisrael, your parents, on behalf of all generations, accepted the Torah. And now these are the rules. And you're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And I'm commanding you that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conduct this ceremony in several parts. in the Yarden, when you cross the Yarden, and then at Harizin and Har-Eval, to recommit yourselves to those commitments. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. If you live up to those commitments and you follow the Torah, then everything's going to be good. I give you 14 psukim of that. And then there's a flip side. Pasuk Tevav begins, V'haya im lo tishma. What happens if you don't listen? What happens if you don't follow the Torah? And this is much lengthier. This was the long aliyah that goes from Pasuk Tevav all the way to Pasuk Samech Chet, 68. 68 minus 14 is 54 psukim. Right? 14 psukim, what's going to happen if it's good? 54 psukim, what's going to happen if you don't follow? I won't read them all to you, but just a sampling. Read along with me, please. Pasuk Tevav, we'll skip along the way. Vayayim lo tishma b'kol Hashem lokecha, lishmor lasot et kol mitzvotah v'chukotah, asher anochi mitzadcha hayom, uvau alecha kol haklalot ha'ele v'hisigucha, arura ta ba'ir, ve'arura ta basadeh. The exact opposite, all sorts of terrible curses will occur to you. You'll be cursed here, you'll be cursed there. Pasuk Chaf, yishalach Hashem b'cha et ha'me'ira, et ha'mehuma, ve'et ha'migeret, all kinds of diseases will afflict you. Pasuk Chavalav, yadbek Hashem b'cha et ha'dever. Pasuk Chavbet, yakcha Hashem v'shachefet u'fakadachat u'vadaleket, various types of physical ailments and diseases. Pasuk Havgimu v'aya shamecha al asher al roshcha nechoshet v'ha'aretz asher tachtecha barzel. The sky over your head will be like it's made out of iron or out of copper, and the ground under you as if it's made out of iron. In other words, there'll be a drought and a famine. It won't rain, and therefore nothing will grow. You'll starve. Yitencha Hashem ni pasuk Havhei, yitencha Hashem nigaf lifnei oivecha. Whereas I told you that if things are good, your enemies will run away from you and no one will be able to affect you. But if you don't follow the Torah, then your enemies will start to attack you and you'll suffer from various sorts of attacks from your enemies. Pasuk Chavzayim, Yakcha Hashem B'shchin Mitzrayim. I heard a shiur this past Shabbat from Rav Meidan, Shlita, Rav Yaakov Meidan, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Gush. And he pointed out that most of the Makot, he actually argued all of the Makot that afflicted Mitzrayim, you can find in these things here. Here it says explicitly, Shechin, which was one of the Makot, even calls it here Shechin Mitzrayim. All sorts of diseases. Let's skip a bit. Eventually it comes to even attacks that involve people being taken away as slaves into exile. Pasuk Lamed Bet, Banecha uvnotecha netunim la'am acher ve'necha ro'ot, v'chalot aleihem kol hayom ve'ein la'el yadecha. You'll be forced to watch your children, your sons and daughters being taken away in chains by other people, and you will be unable to stop it. Pri admatcha b'chol yigiacha yochal am asher lo yadata, and also your property will be taken by these other people, and you'll just lose all of your possessions. Let's skip a little further. Pasuk lamed vav yolech Hashem otcha ve'et malkecha asher tekim alecha el goy asher lo yadata atav avotecha v'avadat Hashem Elohim acherim eitz va'aveh. What's going to happen eventually? You don't follow. Eventually, you're not going to be able to stay in Eretz Israel. The enemy's going to eventually come and conquer the land. He's going to take you and your king out to exile. And you're going to be living in a foreign land, and there you're going to wind up worshiping foreign gods. You didn't worship me. I'm going to throw you into Galut. You're going to be surrounded by all these idolaters, and you're going to wind up partially at least assimilating and worshiping their gods. Let's skip some more. Let's skip to Pasuk. Pasuk Mem Tet. Yisa Hashem alecha goy mirachok mikitzei haaretz kasher yedea hanasher goy asher lo yishtishma l'shono. Eventually a nation is going to come from far away, from the end of the world. A nation is going to come like an eagle or a vulture that flies down and attacks you. Some of the commentaries point out that the eagle was a symbol of the Roman Empire. Maybe this is a prophecy about Rome that would eventually, thousands of years later, would come and invade the land of Israel. Goy az panim, arrogant nation, ashaloyisa panim zakein, the narrow yachon that doesn't have basic decency, cruel to old people and children. And those people are going to attack you and destroy your land. Pasuk min bet veheitzar lecha b'chol sharecha ad redet chomotecha hagvahot v'abitzurot, until knocking down the walls around your great cities. Let's skip some more. It talks here about the terrible famine, women eating their children, all sorts of horrible things that will happen because of the siege put upon you by an enemy. And then we come to Pasuk Samech. Veshiv Hashem b'chad kol madvei Mitzrayim asher agortim et neyem v'dav kubach Again, reminding us of what happened to Mitzrayim, the same way Hashem punished Mitzrayim, now He's going to punish you. Gam kol chali d'chol makasha lo katub b'tefer ha-Torah hazot, yalem Hashem alacha ari shamdach. And after I give you this whole catalog of all sorts of horrible things, I'm telling you that even things that aren't written here are going to happen to you. Things you can't even imagine. Suffering that you can't even imagine is going to happen to you. V'nish'artem b'mtei ma'at. You're going to remain a very, very tiny people. I promised Avram that you were going to be like the stars in the sky, so many people, but now you're going to become a tiny nation. Only a small remnant will remain. Now, this is very, very harsh. Very, very angry it sounds, but there's also, if you think about it, a hidden bracha here. Because the phrase, v'nish artem dimtei na'at, you shall remain a tiny nation, that phrase contains within it the word v'nish artem. Right? You'll be almost destroyed. You'll suffer unimaginable suffering, but you'll still remain. You're not going to be wiped out completely. Or maybe it's not a blessing. I don't know. Maybe it would be better to be destroyed. And it goes on and on and on. Pasuk Samach Dalid, Vehefitzcha Hashem Bechol Ha'amim. Eventually you're going to be scattered into exile among all of the nations, Mikitzei Ha'aretz Ve'ad Kitzei Ha'aretz. From one end of the world until the other. And if it hasn't become clear by now, and this is what's so eerie, in my opinion, about these Pesukim, this was once upon a time, what was that?
Their prophecy.
Yeah, once upon a time this read like this was a prophet. It's still a prophecy, but today it reads not so much like prophecy, but like history. Right? Because every single Pasuk in this Tochacha has been fulfilled. If you just study a little bit about the history of our people, it's filled with all of these things, with diseases and with famines and with military attacks and with suffering and with destruction and with exile and with more suffering. And eventually, by now we can say that this pasuk has also been fulfilled. Defitz Hashem b'chol ha'amin mikzei ha'aretz v'ad kitzei ha'aretz. I haven't done extensive research, but I believe the next statement I'm about to make is true. I don't think there's a country on earth that does not and never has had a Jewish community. I think by now, Jewish people have been in every country on earth. Those places where there are no Jews today, it's generally because we once upon a time lived there and they've already driven us out. I don't think you can find a country that no Jewish people have ever lived in. Mikitzei ha'aretz ve'ad kitzei ha'aretz. From one end of the world to the other. From Oslo to Cape Town, from Sydney to Los Angeles, and everywhere in between, I don't think there's a place we haven't been.
Antarctica.
Where people live. Right? And that's why I said to Cape Town, right? Maybe this place is further south, but obviously, right? No Jews live in the North Pole. I understand that. Or on the moon, right? But
scientists,
okay. And there also, va'avadata sham Elohim acherim asher lo yadata tava botecha eitz va'aben. There also, eventually, you're going to wind up assimilating. You're going to wind up worshiping foreign gods, but you're not going to disappear. Uvagoyim ha'heim lo targiya. You're not going to be able to relax. V'lo yiyye manoach l'chaf raglecha. You'll never be able to feel settled anywhere. Wherever you go in the world and you settle down, you think, okay, here's a place I can live sooner or later, before you wind up assimilating completely, you're not going to be able to relax there. And again, I can think of so many places in history. I'm into history. I have a master's degree in Jewish history. And I can think of so many places in the world and so many points in history where these psukim were fulfilled also. Benatan Hashem lecha sham, there where you tried to relax, where you tried to lehargiya, you tried to have a manoach lecha fraglecha, you tried to just settle down, instead you're going to get lev ragaz v'chilyone naim v'davon nafesh, you're going to suffer terribly there too. V'yu chayecha tluim lecha mineged, ufachayet alayla v'yomam, v'lo tamim b'chayecha, you're going to be panicked all the time. Baboker tomar mi yitain erev, uva erev tomar mi yitain boker. At night you'll say, oh, I just can't wait for the morning. Then everything will be better. In the morning you'll say, I hope it'll be nighttime again soon. Your life will become unbearable. Beshiv Hashem Mitzrayim ba'aniyot. You're going to wind up going back to Egypt. Whether this is meant literally or figuratively. But derech Hashem amarti lecha lo tosif od derota. I took you out of Egypt. They said you're not going back there, but because of your actions, you're going to wind up being sent back there. V'tmakartem sham lo yivech, and again you're going to be sold as slaves. Lavadim l'shfachot. Once again, I took you out of slavery in Egypt. You don't want to be sold as slaves again, but this time, v'tmakartem sham lo yivech, lavadim l'shfachot, ve'ein kuneh. Your life is going to become so miserable, you're not even going to be worth anything as a slave. Nobody's even going to want to buy you. And that's how this lovely passage comes to an end. And then the Torah concludes, Eile Divrei Habrit, Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe Lichrot et Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Moav, Milvad Habrit Asher Karat Itam Be'chorev. Just like there was a Brit in Chorev, where's Chorev? What mountain is called Chorev? That's another name for the mountain known as Har Sinai. It's called Chorev, that's another name for it. The same, so there was a Brit at Chorev, and this is Eile Divrei Habrit, Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe Lichrot et Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Moav. Now they're in the land of Moab, just across the river. You were there, almost, right? You were there with Shani a few weeks ago. You stood at the Yarden, just opposite the Yarden, right? You saw the Jordanians on the other side there. That's Eretz Moav. Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in those mountains up on top there. Somewhere up there is Har Nevo. Those mountains are Har Nevo. Somewhere up in those mountains, Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. They were standing approximately on the other side of the river from where you were, more or less. And this is the Brit that they took place there. Moshe Rabbeinu commands them the Brit. And it's on this basis that they're going to, a few weeks from now, cross over the river, set up those rocks, and then go up to Har Gerizim and Har Eval a few months later and solidify the Brit based on this. Yes?
Isn't it true that every blessing Hashem keeps, but then a curse he doesn't necessarily put in stone?
That's an excellent question.
Because then the Brit Habitzarim, which said we're going to become a big nation as much as the sand and all that, that's taking away from this.
Meaning you're saying that Hashem promised that, well,
He already promised us to be
Hashem promised Abraham that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky. And that promise was fulfilled. One could read, at least, that promise was fulfilled. And now it's saying, but if you don't follow, then after that, you're going to become small again.
When was it fulfilled?
Well, it says, Tachat Asher Hayitim. Perhaps, you know what? Hold this thought. By the end of the year, we'll try to give a few different possibilities about that, okay? All right, so this is what we read last Shabbat. Now, what I want to do now, I'm going to send you a minute to Beit Midrash. I want to just read the last few psukim of last week's parsha and just the first pasuk or two or three of this week's parsha. Please pick up with me from Perek Chavtet. After that's all over. Okay, so what have we had so far? We had Sefer Dvarim. Beginning, we had Moshe's introductory speech. We had the long Ne'uma Mitzvot that took us all the way through Parsha Shoftim Kiteitei Kitavo. After the Ne'uma Mitzvot end, we had the discussion about the Brit and the Tochacha. And it concluded, Eile Divrei Habrit. Now, in theory, Moshe Rabbeinu is ready to go up the mountain, get his final brachot, and then go die, and then we're going to go in, right? That's it, right? But we still have a few more prakim here before we get to, two Shabbatot until Simchas Torah, right? We're not ready to read Vizot HaBracha yet. What else is going on? The Torah told us, now I'm at Shvi of last week's parasha, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, Pasuk Perek Chavtet. Again, Moshe calls all the people, Vayom Ralehem, and he says to them, Atem re'item et kol asher asa Hashem le'nechem v'eretz Mitzrayim l'faro l'chol avadah v'l'chol aso. I want to remind you what you saw in Mitzrayim. Ha'masot ha'gdalot asher aru enechav ha'moftim ha'gdolim ha'im. Remember all the miracles you saw in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu has spoken about this already several times in the book of Dvarim. We got this point. If you go back to Parsha Dvarim and Beit Chanan, and several points along the way also, he's reminded us again and again and again about what Hashem did for us in Egypt. I imagine if you and I were there in the Midbar, and we heard the whole brit, and we're ready, and we know Moshe's going to die soon, we're going into Eretz Yisrael soon, he calls us back for another speech. I can imagine you and I sitting there saying, what's the point of this? We heard this all already. Is he getting senile? Why is he repeating himself? I know, we have to remember what Hashem did for us in Egypt. We heard that already. He goes on. Pasuk 40 years I took you through the desert. Lo valusa motechem alechem and alchalo valtami al ragecha lechem lo achaltem v'yayim shechar lo shtitem. For 40 years I took you through the desert. You had no regular food. You had no regular water. I supported you with man, with water from a rock. Your clothes didn't get worn out. Batavo el makom hazeh. And finally you came to this place. Now he's talking about events that took place only a few months ago. Just a few months ago, when we came here to the land of Moab, we were attacked by two kings. Sichon Melech Heshbon, the Og Melech HaBashan. Sichon Melech HaEmori, who ruled in the city of Heshbon. Okay, and Og Melech HaBashan. Okay, these people ruled in the area further north from where you were, including the Golan Heights. What's today the Golan Heights? Vanikach et Arzam, and we destroyed them. Venitna v'nachlalu v'nibla gadiv l'chatzi shevet ha-manashi. And God gave them, and I just gave them. Now, this is also things Moshe Rabbeinu has spoken about several times already in the book of Devarim. Things that happened just a few months ago, these also point to, look what Hashem did for you. Even just a few months ago, we captured all this land, and already 2.5 tribes already have their nachala. Ushmartem et divrei abrit hazot vasitem otam leman taskilu et kol asher tasun. So remember, you better keep the brit. And then he continues. This is now the beginning of this week's parsha. Aten nitzavim hayom kulchen lifnei Hashem elokeichem. I want you to know that you're all standing here today in front of Hashem. Rasheichem, shifichem, zikmeichem, shaltrichem, kol ish Yisrael. You're all here, every single person. Tapchem, nesheichem, children, women. The gercha asher b'kerev machanecha, mechotei beitzecha, ad shoei memecha. Even the ger, even those who joined us are with us here. Even the water carriers, the janitors, everybody's here. Why are we all here? Moshe Rabbeinu might be saying to them, you might be wondering why I've called you back together to tell you things that I've already said. I'm telling you now why. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. I've called you all here together, every single man, woman, and child. Why? Le'avrecha bivrit Hashem elokecho ba'avato. Asher Hashem elokecho karetim chayom. Because I have to tell you that you're about to enter into a brit with Hashem. That's why I've called you all together here today. Now what question did we ask?
They already answered.
But we already heard that. Right? You didn't answer the question. We just read a few psukim ago. Eile divrei habrit. Moshe Rabbeinu already told them, this is the brit. When you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conduct this formal ceremony. A brit is a covenant or a treaty. Right? Right? What's being changed? Some of the Mefarshim say that Moshe wanted to do something right then and there also. Because why? Because here he has every single man, woman, and child. Once they go into Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to spread out, there's never going to get every single person there. It's always going to be somebody old, somebody sick. When they came to Har Gerizim and Har Eival, it probably wasn't every single person. Right now, he's got every single person. Some of the Mefarshim say that's why he wanted to do this. Could be. But that answer doesn't sound so satisfying. Especially even if that's true, then the Torah shouldn't need to give us the whole...
I think that there needs to be a reiteration of the facts that they're entering into this brit. You're like, here's the content of the contract.
Right.
Let me remind you that once you sign this contract, these aren't imaginary things. These are some things that are going to happen.
69 psukim wasn't enough for that?
Well, I don't know.
And plus, even if it needed to be reiterated to them, does the Torah have to reiterate it again to us? Maybe it could have just given us a pasuk or two telling them that Moshe called them back and repeated it all. Here's what I want. You know, let's hold this conversation right now. Let me just take Shuli's comment, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. Yes.
So I feel like it's more of a, like, this is the beginning of the brief kind of thing. Because, yeah, we're put into a brief, but we're about to go into Israel, the exact thing that Hashem wants us to do. We're really actually about to, like, fulfill one of our briefs and, like, really go and do it. So I think this is him saying, guys, like, this is happening, this is here, we're doing this. Like,
okay, again, the question is even if that's true, why the Torah has to repeat the whole thing. So here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna pause the recording now, and I'm going to ask everybody to go to Beit Midrash. Just for a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes, tops. Let's do it in 15 minutes either. And I just want you to read through this entire parsha this week. It's a very short parsha. Less than two prakim, Perek Chavtet and Perek Lamed. We already started Perek Chavtet. Okay, just read it. Read the rest of the speech that Moshe gives them now, this next speech. And then let's come back and try to see if we can answer this question. What's added? Again, even if the people then needed it reiterated, why does the Torah have to write the whole thing down if it's being written down again, or is something being added in Perek Chavtet and Lamed? That's the question. Okay, so I'm going to stop the recording now. And, all right, so, yes, Nina, a lot of what we read in these, in Parsha Nitzavim, both the beginning part that we read together and the parts that you read, the phones away, please, and the parts that you read just now, a lot of it does seem to be essentially repetitive, but there are some additions. What's different? That's the question.
I mean, this is kind of I think it's opportunity for Tshuva saying, just if you get the curses, it's not as if the curses are forever.
Oh.
If you change your ways and you go back to Hashem and follow the Torah, the curses will be thrust upon your enemies, and you won't have those curses anymore. You'll be given all the blessings.
Okay. So let me just repeat back what you said, Dina, and you'll tell me if I'm saying it correctly, but I just want to say it in slightly different words. What Dina's saying, I think, is I asked you beforehand, right? We started reading Perek Chavtet, and it sounded so much like it was a repetition. We said, what's the point? And some people suggested maybe the people needed it reiterated or something like that. Dean is now saying it's not only a reiteration, there's an additional point. Almost as if, I'm not saying he didn't plan it this way, but almost as if Moshe Rabbeinu sent the people home after telling them, Eile Divrei HaBrit, and almost as if he went home that night and said, or 5 minutes later and said, you know what? I might have given them the wrong impression. Because what did I just tell them? I just told them that here's the deal. You committed to keep the Torah. And as long as you keep the Torah, everything's going to be amazingly wonderful. But if you don't, I really, in modern Hebrew we would say, nichnasti bahem. I like really bashed them over the head. And I told them all the things that, well, terrible things are going to happen to them. I ended it kind of on a depressing note. And what's the danger? Maybe, Moshe was thinking.
Once they don't follow the Torah.
And if I manage to scare them and they do it right, sababa, as we say. But if at some point, and maybe it's not if but when, at some point in the future they slip, and if some or all of these terrible curses come to be, what conclusion might they then draw? They might think that now it's too late, now it's all over. Right? What happened? We had a deal with God. If we keep His Torah, everything's going to be good. If we don't keep His Torah, everything's going to be bad. And it's going to. And how does it end? It ends with us scattered all over the world, almost destroyed, suffered terribly, and it ends with we're going to be sold as slaves and no one's even going to buy us. Eile Divrei HaBrit. But if you ever get to that point, or even if you get to some of the stages before that, maybe the people are going to say, I guess it's all over. So I have to point out to them that no matter what happens, this brit is never always over. Because why? Because there's always the possibility of coming back. Now you said, what did you say there for Moshe's additional message was? That even if all this happens,
tshuva.
Say a full sentence about tshuva.
Tshuva is always possible, even if you stray from God.
And therefore, even if all these terrible things happen,
you
still
have the opportunity for all of the brachot.
Meaning, how would you get those brachot?
By following the Torah.
And what you said before is, if you do tshuva, then you can always come back.
Yeah.
The question is if that's the right way to say the sentence.
If you...
Is it if you always do tshuva, or
if
maybe...
You when.
Or when you finally do tshuva, right? That's also the question.
Because if you look at the wording, it also says, not like, if you decide to return, it's like, when you decide to come back to God,
okay.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, there's always a possibility of coming back when you do tshuva.
So that's the question. The question is it if you come back, or I'm telling you that eventually you will come back? Let's leave that open for a few minutes also. Okay, but in any case, Perek Lamed, which will come...
It makes sense with the impression that they may have had. Because if the impression that they had was that they couldn't come back, and
right.
The Torah kind of is just irrelevant at this point because they already broke this covenant, then
right.
It's not a when you will come back, because he's under the impression that they're just lost now after they don't follow the Torah.
So he's okay.
If you come back.
Except that it doesn't say it that way. It doesn't say if... It starts off im shamoa vim lo tishma, but afterwards the prophet Lamed says vayaki avol kol ha'dvarim alecha bracha baklala shenatati levanecha vahashevota el vavecha. It doesn't say if; it says you will, which is interesting. Yes, Nicole. Okay, you can come back to me if you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait, before you go to Pesach Lamed,
yeah.
Can you just like explain what happened first?
What do you mean?
The
middle section, a lot of it seems to be more, whatever, you read it or you can read it. I don't want to go into the details of Perek Chavtet now.
But
right?
Can you just have an overlay?
He says again that if there are people that start following Avodah Zarah, then they're going to ultimately be destroyed and they're going to be thrown into exile. Again, it sounds somewhat repetitive. You could find certain nuances that might be a little bit different, but essentially it sounds repetitive. And then it comes to Perek Lamed and it says, Vayaki avo alecha kol advarim ayla habracha baklala asher natati lefanecha vahashevota el levavecha. How would you translate that? Vahashevota el levavecha.
Your heart will be returned.
Oh, well, the next pasuk says v'shavta ad Hashem lokecha, which means, that's clear, you'll return to Hashem. Right? And then it says, we'll read these pasukim a little bit later, but then it talks about how Hashem is going to bring you back from galut and everything will be good again. What's the hashevota el levavecha? The shoresh of the word is the same, shav, return. But what does the hashevota el levavecha mean?
Return to your heart.
Oh, so some read it, that I like your reading, Shuli, but let me just first say most of the Mefarshim read it a little differently. Most of the Mefarshim read it as V'hashevota el bavecha, you shall return, or you shall turn your attention, you shall start to think about it, to think about the mitzvah.
It makes sense, because you're talking about, like, committing to your heart, it's what you really are.
Right. So the Targum Yonatan translates it into Aramaic that way. The Targum Yonatan, I'll read you in Aramaic, I don't know how good your Aramaic is, but it, the Targum Yonatan, I'm sorry, the Targum Unkelus, I'm sorry. The Targum Unkelus and his pasuk translates it that way. V'yehei are yetun alach kopit gamaya ha'ilein, birkanu levatin, which means in Aramaic, when all these things happen to you, the blessing and the curse. And then it says, V'hashevot el vavecha, he translates it, V'tativ lilibach, you will return to your heart. Right? V'tashuv el libecha, as if it said that. So that's very interesting. In other words, it starts with tshuva. What does the word tshuva mean, by the way? Right, we translate all means repentance, but the word actually means return. And who are you returning to when you do tshuva? So right, so it ends in this pasuk with b'shav, and pasuk gimel we have b'shavta Hashem, but perhaps before b'shavta Hashem, it starts by returning to who you really are. Right? Okay, very nice. Okay, so basically it says that whether it's if or whether it's when we finally do tshuva, even if all the curses and the tochacha come to be, it's never over. It's never over. There's always the opportunity to come back, and eventually we have a happy end, right? The terrible, terrible story that we read last week has a happy ending, and that's Perek Lamed here. And the end of Perek Lamed, we'll come back. We'll read some of those tuk in the middle towards the end. But the end of Perek Lamed, Moshe Rabbeinu gives them like his final plea, as it were. If you skip to Pasuk Yud Aleph, after describing the redemption, the geula that will happen after you do tshuva, he says. It's almost as if he says to them, guys, this is like my last chance to make my plea to you. I've been talking to you and talking to you. I've been leaving you for 40 years. I've been talking to you for a few months. I've given you the whole sacred Dvarim. What else can I say? Just listen to this, guys. It's not his final words. He has a few more things to say at the end of sacred Dvarim, but this is one of his last things he says to the people. He has a song that he's going to sing, Parshat Hazina. We'll get to that in the Torah. But he says, Ki hamitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. I want you to know that everything I've told you, this whole Torah I've given you, it might have sounded really, really difficult. Lo nifleti mimcha, lo rechokahi. It's not far away. It's not so difficult. Lo vashamayim hi, which the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which I spoke about in my Gemara class. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the famous story in the Gemara of Bava Metzia. Rabbi Yoshua did something else with this pasuk. That the Torah is not in heaven, but the literal original meaning of the pasuk, he means it's lo b'shamayim, it's not up in the sky. Lemor miyale lanu b'shamayim v'yikachei halanu. It's not that the Torah is up in the sky, and you can say who could go up to heaven and get the Torah. V'yashmino tav nasem v'lo me'ever l'yami. It's not on the other side of the ocean. Lemor miyaver lanu l'ever yami yikachei halanu v'yishmino tav nasena. It's not on the other side of the ocean. I say who could travel and get it? The Torah is not far away from you. Ki karov elecha hadavar me'od. Every person has the ability to keep the Torah. It's in your own heart, it's in your own mouth. All you have to do is try. It's possible. And then he continues, the choice is in your hands. I've given you life and good, and I've given you death and evil. It's up to you. If you follow the Torah, as I said so many times, then things are going to be good. If you don't follow the Torah, things are going to be bad. Pasuk Yutet, Ha'idoti Bachem Hayom, Et Hashemayim Et Haaretz, I call heaven and earth as witnesses. Ha'chayim V'hamavet Natati Lefanecha Ha'bracha V'hatlala. I've given you a choice. Life and death, blessing and curse, it's all in front of you. U'vacharta B'chayim, and I command you, choose life. L'man Tichyeh Atav V'zarecha Li'avat Hashem Elokecha L'shmoa B'kolo U'lidav Kabo Ki Hu Chayecha V'orech Yamecha. This is the key. If you want to have a long life in Eretz Yisrael, you want to stay in the land, this is the key. Follow the Torah. And if you fail, then pick yourself up and do tshuva. It's possible. It's doable. That's my final message to you, or my almost final message to you, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, Dada.
It doesn't sound like you're getting much of a choice. It sounds like either you follow the ways of the Torah and have, like, whatever, or you just don't follow the rules and then you're done. It doesn't seem very like...
What do you mean? You could choose to follow the Torah or not. There are consequences to your choice. But even if you fail, and even if you get punished, there's always a way out. There's always a way back.
But it doesn't seem. It's either like it's kind of giving like you follow the Torah or you don't, because you're going to go down the
well,
bad
that's a choice.
If you don't.
Right. You have a choice to do what's good for you. You have a choice to do what's bad for you.
It sounds as if I...
How many people do you know that choose things that are, choose to act in ways that are not good for them? That's what the Bechirah Chofshit is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Why do we do things that are not good for us? Why do people... Whatever. Yeah?
I think maybe if I'm understanding Dali correctly, she's saying that like sometimes you follow a lot of the mitzvot, but you don't follow some of the mitzvot, and it sounds like this is kind of an all-or-nothing deal.
Yeah.
You don't follow one mitzvah in the Torah, and suddenly the entirety of the mitzvah that you follow are falsified and made like null and void. And then
you see that in these psukim here. I mean,
it seems like an all or nothing deal, rather than like I can follow the majority of the mitzvah in the Torah, missed a few. What's God's reaction to that?
I'm just questioning whether these prakim address that question or not.
It just seems very harsh.
Okay, it seems harsh. Here's what I want to show you. I want to, with your permission, I want to jump to a different part in Tanakh. I want to show you a different nevuah. This was the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to show you a different nevuah of the Navi Yechezkel. And if you thought this was harsh, we'll see what you say about Yechezkel. I think the two nevuot, which were said at two very different times in history, and we'll talk about that in a second, are similar. I think they tell essentially the same story, but there's some crucial differences between them. So let's look at Yechezkel, and then we'll come back to the things you mentioned, Dalia, okay? Please turn to Yechezkel. Where do you find Yechezkel? In Nevi'im. At the end of Nevi'im, we're shown. At the end of Nevi'im, not at the end, right? If you turn to the section of your Tanakh, Nevi'im. Right. You have Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, and then you have Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, and then comes Yechezkel before Treyasa. Okay, and please open to Yechezkel Perek Chaf. Okay, first of all, who was Yechezkel? Anybody here ever learn Yechezkel?
Yeah,
he was the Navi at the time of the destruction. Yeah. He prophesied both before and after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. He's at the same time period as Yirmiyahu, but he's in a different place. Yechezkel, this is at the very, very end of the first Beit HaMikdash. Okay, we're about 800 years or so after Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, Yeshua led the people into Eretz Canaan. There's a period of about 400 years that's described to us mostly in the book of Shoftim. And then we have the Shaul and David. And the first Beit HaMikdash is built. And the first Beit HaMikdash stood for 400 years. And the descendants of David ruled in Yerushalayim for 400 years. 410 to be exact, according to Chazal. During that time, for most of that time period, there were also another kingdom in the north, Shomron, that was eventually destroyed, taken to Galut, and eventually, 400 years after David, or 410 years after Shlomo, to be more exact, after Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, finally Nebuchadnezzar came, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, and he destroyed Yerushalayim, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. At that time, there were two main Nevi'im. There was a Navi called Yirmiyahu, who was a Kohen, who lived in Yerushalayim, or lived near Yerushalayim.
Anatot.
And then spent some of his time in Yerushalayim itself. Anatot is right near Yerushalayim. And he was there in Yerushalayim until the Churban itself. And there was another Navi who was also a Kohen. And his name was Yechezkel ben Buzi. He was also a Kohen in Yerushalayim, and he went out to Galut. The Galut took place in two stages. How many of you learned Sefer Malachim Bet? Not too many. Okay, quickly. The last kings of Yehuda were Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Zedekiah. Yehoyachin was a king who ruled for 11 years. At the end of his 11 years, the Bavlim came, the Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies, the Babylonians, they came and they took him and some of the people to Galut. The Beit HaMikdash was still standing. They took the king himself, Yehoyachin, who was also called Yechoniah. They took the king, they took what's called Hacharash V'Hamazger, the elite of the people, the upper echelons of society, they took them to Galut. And in place of Yehoyachin, and they took him to Galut too, Yehoyachin. And they put him in jail in Babylonia. Eventually they let him out of jail, many years later. But they took people to Galut, but the Beit HaMikdash was still standing, and the poor people, the farmers, were still there in Yehuda, and they took Yehoyachin's uncle, Zedekiyahu, and made him king. So Yechezkel began in Yerushalayim, but he was taken out to Galut. And the book of Yechezkel was written in Bavel. The first part of the Sefer is written before the Churban. He's there with the people before the Churban, and then they get the news how Yerushalayim was destroyed, and the second half of the Sefer is written after the Churban. Same time as Yirmiyahu. Okay, so now take a look at Yechezkel Perek Chaf. And it says, Vayihi bashana hashvi'it b'chamisha be'asor lechodesh ba'u anashim mizikne Yisrael ledrosh et Adonai v'yayishvu lefanai. Yechezkel says in the seventh year, he's counting from the exile, from the time that Yehoyachim was taken. They've been in Babel now for 7 years. But the Churban took place in the 11th year. So that means it's 4 years before Yerushalayim was destroyed. Zedekiah is still king in Yerushalayim. You have to understand what's going on right now. Am Yisrael's in two halves. Some of the people are in Babel with their king Yehoyachim and with their Navi Yechezkel. And those people were hoping that the Beit HaMikdash wouldn't be destroyed, and that they soon, they had this thought that maybe soon the Bavlim will have mercy on us, they'll change their ideas, they'll let Yehoyachin out of jail, they'll let us go back to Yerushalayim. That's what these people thought. Meanwhile, in Yerushalayim, there's other people there with their king, Zedekiah, and they were hoping that everything will be okay, and they'll be able to stay in Yerushalayim. And in both places, both in Babel and in Yerushalayim, there were false prophets going around telling everybody everything's going to be okay. And meanwhile, the true prophets, Yirmiyahu in Yerushalayim and Yechezkel and Babel, are telling people it's not going to be okay. Yerushalayim is destroyed, going to be destroyed soon. So in the seventh year, 7 years after they went into Galut, 4 years before the ultimate Churban, he gives the exact date. It's on the 10th of Av. Why is that date significant, the 10th of Av? Chamishi be'asor l'chodesh. Tisha B'Av is the day that, and most of the Churban took place on the 10th. This is the, exactly 4 years to the day. 4 years later, on this very day, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be burning. But they don't know that yet. And these people came, Lidrosh et Hashem. They came to Yechezkel to hear what Hashem has to say. And he says, I'm going to read this quickly because we only have a few minutes. Please read with me. Pasuk Bet. Vayhi dvar Adonai elai lemor ben Adam. That's how Yechezkel is always called, ben Adam. Daber al zikne Yisrael v'marta lehem. Koma Adonai Elohim, halidrosh oti atem ba'im, chai ani midaresh lachem, nu'um Adonai Elohim. You've come to seek me out, you've come to hear my word, has Hashem. I swear, I'm not going to be available for you, I'm not going to hear your prayers. Hatishpot otam, hatishpot ben Adam. You want to judge them? He says to Yechezkel, et to'avat avotam hodiyim. Tell them the evil deeds of their ancestors. V'marta lehem, Hashem says, this is what I want you to tell them. They came, the Ziknei Yehuda, right? The elders of the community. These are people that have been in Galut for 7 years. They want to go back to Yerushalayim. They don't know what to do. They come to Yechezkel. Tell us what to do. How do we deal with this situation? Give us some words of encouragement. Tell us that Hashem is going to save us. Something. Hashem says, tell them I'm not interested in what they have to say. And here's what I want you to tell them. They want to know what they should do now. Instead, I want you to give them a history lesson. Listen. Pasuk Hei. V'amarta aleihem. Komar Adonai Elohim, biyom bachori b'Yisrael, v'asayadi l'zera Beit Yaakov, v'ivada lahem be'eretz Mitzrayim, v'asayadi lahem l'mor ani Adonai Elohim. Way back, almost 900 years ago, back in Mitzrayim, before, when they were still slaves in Egypt, I came to their ancestors and I swore that I would take them out of Mitzrayim. ביום ההוא נסעתי ידי להם להוציאה מארץ מצרים, אל ארץ השתרתי להם זבת חלב ודבש צפי לכל הארצות. I came to them in Mitzrayim, means I sent my messenger Moshe, and I promised I'll take you out of Mitzrayim to this great land that's flowing with milk and honey. ואמר להם, and I said, but there's one condition, I said to them. איש שיקוצי עיניו השליחו וגילו לי מצרים אל תתמאו אני אדוני אלוהיכם. I said, you have to get rid of your idolatry. They were worshipping Avodah Zarah in Egypt. You've got to get rid of that. Vayamruvi, but they rebelled against me. V'lo avu l'shmo elai, they didn't listen to me. Isha chikunei enehem lo yishlichu. V'gilulei Mitzrayim lo azavu. But they didn't do it. They didn't leave their idols. They continued worshipping Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim. Before anything. I said, just get rid of your idols and I'll take you out. And they didn't do it. V'omar l'shpoch hamati alehem l'chalot api b'hem b'toch eretz Mitzrayim. And right then and there, at the very beginning of Mitzrayim, I was so upset, said Hashem, I decided I was going to destroy them right there in Mitzrayim. I wasn't going to take them out of Mitzrayim because they didn't listen to me. But in the end, they didn't. You know why, he says? Va'as l'ma'an shmi. וביותי החל לעיני הגויים אשר הימה בתוכם, שנודעתי עליהם לעיניהם להוציאה מארץ מצרים. But then I decided that if I don't take them out, my name will be desecrated, said Hashem. For my sake, for the sake of my name, for the sake of my message in the world, I decided to take them out of Mitzrayim. Not on their own merit. They didn't deserve it. So I took them out of Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud. V'otzi'em eretz Mitzrayim, v'arayim el midbar, I brought them to the midbar. V'aten lehem et chukotai v'et mishpatai hodati otam asher yaseh otam adam v'chai b'hem. I gave them mitzvot which are for their benefit. Mitzvot which he quoted, he's relating here to a pasuk in Vayikra. It says that if you follow the Torah, v'chai b'hem, these mitzvot will give you life. He's echoing what Moshe Rabbeinu said in our parsha. U'bacharta b'chayim. I gave them mitzvot for their benefit. וגם את שבתותיי נתתי להם, להיות לאות ביני וביניהם, לדעת, כי אני אין מי מקד שם. I gave them Shabbat, which is a special sign between me and them. See, even though they didn't deserve it, I gave them all these things. And you know what they did to me in the Midbar? Pasuk Yud Gimel? Again they rebelled. ויאמרו בבית ישראל במדבר, בחוקותיי לא הלכו, בבית משפטיי מה עשו אשר יעשה אותם אדם בחי בהם. ואת שבתותיי חיללו מאוד. They didn't follow these mitzvot. They desecrated them. ואומר, and I decided right then and there, maybe he's talking about Chet HaEgel, for example. And I decided, לשפוך חמתי עליהם במדבר לחלותם. I said, I'm going to destroy them right here now in the midbar. But in the end, I didn't do that either, for the same reason. ואעשה למען שמי. But for my own sake, for the sake of my name, I didn't destroy them. ובלתי החל לנאגרם אשר הוצאתים לעיניהם. I didn't want my name desecrated. So I saved them, even though they didn't deserve it. וגם אני נסעתי עדי להם במדבר. ובלתי אביא אותם אל הארץ שנתתי זבת חלב ודבש צפיהי לכל הארץ. But I said to those people in the midbar, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Instead, your children will. Yan, why won't you go in? Yan b'mishpatayim ha'asu b'chukotay lo alchu b'hem. That shabtotay chilelu ki acharei gilulehem libam olech. Because you didn't follow my Torah. V'tachasan eini elehem yishachatam, pasuk yitzayin, I decided not to destroy him. V'lo asiti otam kalab b'midbar. V'omar al b'neihem b'midbar. And then I said to their children, the next generation, b'chukei avoteichem al telechu, don't follow your parents' ways. ומשפטיהם אל תשמורו, ובגילוליהם אל תתמאו. Don't defile yourself with idols like your parents did. Don't do what your parents did. אני אדוני אלוהיכם, בחוקותיי לכו, ואת משפטיי שמרו ועשו אותם. די, let's just read the whole part, then we'll talk about it. Okay, so I said, don't follow your parents' ways, follow me instead. I'm talking now to the second generation. This is their third chance. I should have destroyed them in Egypt, I didn't. I should have destroyed them at Chet HaEgel or Chet HaMeragim, I didn't. Now I'm talking to the third generation. Now he's talking about the time of Moshe, of our Parsha, at the end, the next generation. But for the third time, the children also rebelled against me. Again, they didn't follow the mitzvah. Again, they desecrated the Shabbat. So I wanted to destroy them in the desert. But guess what? In the end, they didn't. You know why? For the same reason. For my own sake, not for their sake. For the sake of my name, I decided not to destroy them. לבלתי החל לעיני הגויים אשר הוצאתי אותם לעיניהם, גם אני נשאתי את ידי להם במדבר. Remember, Yechezkel sitting in Babel 7 years after the Galut, 4 years before the Korban, talking to the Zakenim or trying to save the situation, and this is what he's saying to them. He's giving them this whole history lesson, and then he said, Hashem told them, even there in the Midbar, I already promised, להפיץ אותם בגויים, ולזרות אותם בארצות. I said that the day is going to come that you're going to go out to exile. And here it doesn't say if. Here it sounds like this is what's going to happen. Eventually you're going to go to exile. That was 800 years ago. It hasn't happened yet. But guys, who's sitting in front of me, guess what? The time's coming. Why? Because back in the day, we're in the bar. Yam mishpatai lo asu, v'chukotai ma'asu, v'chabtotai chileilu. V'acharei gilulei avotam ayu inehem. וגם אני נתתי להם חוקים לא טובים ומשפטים לא יחיו בהם ותמי אותם במתנותם באוויר כל פטר רחם למען השימן, למען אשר ידוע אשר אני אדוני. And I told them that, you know what? The mitzvot can also become poison for you. Maybe, Dalia, this is relating to what you started saying before. You know, if you don't follow the mitzvot, then they can become poisonous for you because they can eventually cause you to be destroyed. לכן, פסוק חזיים, לכן דבר בית ישראל בני אדם, בן אדם. יחזקאל talk to them. ואמרת להם, כה אמר אדוני אלוהים, עוד זאת ביטפו אותי אבותיכם במעלם בימעל, ואביאם אל הארץ אשר נשאתי את ידי לתת אותה להם, I even brought them into Eretz Yisrael, ויראו כל גבעה רמה וכל עץ אבות, and they saw every hill and every tree, and what did they do? ויזבחו שם את זבחיהם, ויתנו שם כעס קורבנם, וישימו שם ריח ניחוריהם, ויסיחו שם את נזקיהם. And then they started worshiping Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael too. Lachen, pasuk lamed, lachen emor el beit Yisrael, ko amar Adonai Elohim. Habaderech avoteichem atem nitmiim. Are you really doing this? You're still, after 800 years, you're still doing the wrong thing. You're still doing Avodah Zarah. Bacharei shikutzeim atem zonim. You're still following these evil paths. Uvisayt matnoteichem and try to bring a korban. Instead of bringing a korban to me, you know what you do? Ba'avir b'neichem ba'esh. You bring your children as sacrifices to Molech, which is what was happening in Yerushalayim not so long before. Atem nitmeitem, nitmeim l'chol gilechem adayom, v'ani adaresh lahem beit Yisrael. And now you're coming to me to ask what you can do? Forget about it. Nu'um Hashem Elokim, imi adaresh lahem. I promise. Chayan nu'um Hashem. I swear by my own name. I'm not going to be answering you. And then he says, so what imagine what this must have sounded like to those who came in. They're sitting here in Bavel. They want to save the situation. And Yechezkel's telling them, it's helpless. You're finished. 800 years Hashem has been waiting for you. You never deserved it even from the beginning. I know what you're thinking, and I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. Hayo lo tiyah. It's not going to happen. Asher atem omrim, niyeh kagoyim kimishpachot haratzot v'sharei t'eitz la'aven. You're thinking, maybe we should just give up. Maybe we should just... All right, Hashem sent us here to Bavel. He told us he's not answering. We're not going back to Yerushalayim. And by the way, the galut in Bavel wasn't such a bad galut. The people had decent lives there. Eventually, they even became wealthy. Kind of like America. You could live there and have a decent life. The Babylonians, they didn't let them be back in Yerushalayim, but they let them live there. All right, I guess we're Babylonians now. We'll do like, when in Babylon, do like the Babylonians do. We'll worship their gods. And we'll just have to give up. I know you're thinking that, says Hashem. Hayo lo tiyeh. It's not going to happen. Chayani nu Hashem Elokim im lo biyad chazaka uvizro and utuya uvichema shfucha em lo chaleichem votzeiti etchem en amim vekibatzti etchem en haaretzot Hashem afatzotem bam biyad chazaka uvizro and utuya uvichema shfucha. I'm going to take you out of there. I'm going to take you out of there biyad chazaka uvizro and utuya. Where have we heard those words before? In the Tziyah Mitzrayim. But this time I'm going to take you out biyad chazaka uvizro and utuya with a strong arm and outstretched hand. Uvechema shfucha, and with outpoured fury. And who is Hashem angry at? This time the Yad Chazakah is not directed against the Goyim. It's directed against them. You're going to be redeemed against your will. At this point, you just want to give up. You just want to assimilate. That ain't happening. You're going to be redeemed, but with my fury. Veveiti etchem el midbar ha'amim. I took you out of Mitzrayim, Yad Chazakah. I took you to a midbar. I'm going to take you to another midbar. This is called midbar ha'amim. Different opinions what it means. It's not necessarily a physical place. The desert of among the nations. The desert of history, some say. V'nishpatiti itchem sham panim panim, and I'm going to judge you. Pasuk lamed zayin, v'havarti etchem tachat ha-shavet, I'm going to count each one of you. Uvaroti mikem ha-mordim ha-poshin bi me'eretz migureyem otziotam ve'elad mat Yisrael lo yavo. Those who aren't worthy will be destroyed and will be punished. And only those who follow me will come out. But eventually you're going to be redeemed. So go worship your idols if you want, he says. And then you'll see what will happen to them. But ultimately he says, those who are loyal to me and make it through this horrific judgment, Pasuk Mem says, in the end, the gula is going to happen, even if you don't want it to. So, in a certain sense, Yechezkel's story, Yechezkel's prophecy, is the same story as Moshe's story, right? He says, in Moshe's case, it was all in the future. For Yechezkel, already a lot of this is past tense, but it's the same story. You went into Eretz Yisrael, you didn't follow the Torah, Moshe said, eventually you're going to go into Galut. Now it's about to happen. It's already started. There's going to be a churban. There's going to be destruction. You're going to suffer, but you're not going to be destroyed. And eventually you're going to come back and back to Eretz Yisrael, and everything's going to be good in the end. Essentially, it's the same story. But of course, it's very different, right? What's the difference? Yes?
Here, there's not really an option to do teshuva, but Moshe said like you're always going to have the option to do teshuva.
Now, and why is there no option to do teshuva here? And even earlier, though, Yechezkel is basically saying, you were wrong the whole time. You didn't do one thing right. What a horrible, horrible pessimistic message. You didn't deserve to come out of Mitzrayim in the first place. You didn't deserve anything, and you're not going to deserve the final Geula either. According to Yechezkel's story, Am Yisrael has no role in this. We're just being pushed along through history because God's plan has to happen. We didn't deserve it in the beginning, we didn't deserve it in the middle, we didn't deserve it now, and we're not going to deserve it at the end either. Moshe's story is, it's up to you. Choose life and everything will be good. Choose evil, everything will be bad. And even if it's bad, you can always come back. And when you finally come back, there's going to be a happy end. There's no happy end in Yechezkel. There's no happy beginnings. I don't even know a happy end either. God's plan is going to happen because God's plan is going to happen. You never deserved it. You still don't deserve it. And you're not going to deserve it at the end either. So this is the same story, but a very different story.
So I was saying with the whole Egypt thing, how is it their responsibility about... worshipping all the desire.
What could God possibly want from them?
But they didn't accept the Brit yet.
Well, there is the Brit of the Avot beforehand, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But you're correct. In other words, basically, Dalia, what you're pointing to, and your earlier questions also, I see I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to just bring this to an end now, but you're pointing to all the tensions that are here. And by the way, if you ever have a chance to learn all of Sefer Yechezkel, this theme... In this paragraph, you see in many places in Sefer Yechezkel. Sort of. But if you read between the lines of Yechezkel, and I don't have time to go into it, but I'll tell you particularly, if you take a look at Perek Yud Chet, anyone who wants to take a look at Perek Yud Chet, you'll see that in Perek Yud Chet, Yechezkel says the opposite side, where he makes very clear that each generation has the opportunity to choose its own path.
And Yeshayahu has a lot of positive...
Yeshayahu, but even Yechezkel himself, for sure. Okay, and Moshe also, right? So, I only have 3 minutes, so let me just wrap this up. It seems to me, and Dalia is saying, look, we don't seem like we have any choice here. Yes and no. It seems to me that Yechezkel's point is God's plan is going to happen no matter what. You have no say in whether God's plan happens or not. God's plan is going to happen no matter what you say. But Moshe said it was all up to us. And in a sense, it is all up to us. What's up to us? Not whether it's going to happen or not, but what role we have to play in the process. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Sanhedrin Perek, I'm sorry, Daf Tzadi Cher Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Alexandroni, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Ktiv Va'aru im an Neshmaya Kebar Inash Ata. The Pasuk in Daniel describes the ultimate Geula of the coming of Mashiach as a man coming down gloriously from heaven. Uchtiv, and it says in Zechariah, Ani v'rochev al chamor. Zechariah describes Mashiach as a poor man riding on a donkey. Two very different images, right? One is glorious, miraculous thing coming down from heaven, the other a poor man coming on a donkey. Which is it? Answers Rabbi Alexandroni, it's very simple. Zachu im anan eshmai. Lo zachu, ani v'rochev al chamor. And it all depends whether you merit it or whether you don't merit it. The Mashiach is going to happen, Am Yisrael is going to be redeemed. History is going to play it out its course. And it's not that you don't have a choice. You have a choice. But what's your choice? Your choice is what your role in the process is going to be. Are you going to be the one to make this happen and through your own choices, and then it's going to happen in a glorious way? Or are you going to be pushed towards your own redemption even though you don't deserve it? Yechezkel gives you one side of the coin. He hints at the other side, which Moshe gives. Last sentence. I mentioned earlier that it seems eerily... And by the way, you should know, if people ask me, why do you believe in Torah? Why do you believe in Hashem? Personally, my answer is these prakim here. I told you I study history. And it's unbelievable, if you think about it, how everything it's said in these parshiyot has come true and is in the process of coming true. And the only question is, right, we're sitting here in Yerushalayim again, girls. After this has happened, after we were sent, Miktzei Haaretz, V'ad Kitzei Haaretz. From Oslo to Cape Town, right? And we're all back here in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is once again the capital of the Jewish people. And the question is, are we living Yechezkel's vision? The Midbar Ha'amim? Many, many things have happened in history. There's been a lot of pain and a lot of blood that's gotten us to this point. Or are we living Moshe's vision? Some of Moshe's vision, I'm going to close with these psukim that I didn't read before. The beginning of Perek Lamed. These psukim that we're going to read this Shabbat. You can look out the window. Maybe you should this Shabbat, wherever you are. Look out the window or look around the shul. And you'll realize that we're living these psukim too. V'ashevot elevavecha. It started about 150 years ago when we started, maybe even earlier, when we started, things started happening in the Jewish people. You're learning about Zionism, the beginning of the return to Eretz Yisrael. And then it says, Pasuk Gimel, it's going to happen, Moshe Rabbeinu said, that when you do tshuva, then the shav, Hashem elokecha tshvutcha v'richamecha, the shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher afitzcha Hashem elokecha shama. He's going to gather you back from all the nations. In yeni dachacha b'tzei ha'shamayim, no matter how far away you are. Misham yikabetzcha Hashem elokecha, misham yikachecha. He'll bring you back from there. V'yechah Hashem elokecha, la'aret asher yashua botecha. And walk out the street here. Walk up and down the streets of Yerushalayim, and you can meet Jews from Oslo and Cape Town and Sydney and Los Angeles and everywhere in between. You can see them walking these streets. V'yechah la'aret asher yashua botecha, v'yishta, v'yitivcha, v'yirbecha mi'avotecha. And things are going to be good again. So, sometimes it looks like we're living the Nevuah, because certainly we're living these Nevuah now. The Geulah is happening. There are more Jews in Eretz Yisrael today than anywhere else in the world. 40-something percent of the Jews in the world are already in Eretz Yisrael. And within another few decades, it's almost certain that the majority will be here. The Kibbutz Galiot is happening. Yerushalayim is the capital of the country and the Jewish people, and we have a thriving country. The question is, are we living Yechezkel's vision of the Midbar HaAmim, or are we living Moshe's vision of Tshuva? And that's the question that stands in front of each and every one of us as we enter Rosh Hashanah, Yemei Hadin. Not just what's going to be our own personal fate in life, as we often talk suddenly made in the Yamim Noraim, but what's going to be our role in helping bring Am Yisrael to its final conclusion.
Thank you.